Oh.
How, where's the volume?
Good
that,
Lord.
That took too long.
I couldn't that's find it.
It's going.
What? Now we have to start over.
No, no, just go.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Autopod Decepticast, your bi-weekly podcast that delivers an episode-by-episode breakdown of the original G1 series. This is episode 153, and today we're going to be covering episode 46, season 2, The Secret of Omega Supreme. And I'm your host, Aaron, and today with us is the Fredo Corleone and the Lando Calrissian to my Judas Iscariot. The theme today is betrayal. Gentlemen, tell me a time you felt betrayed.
My pipes have betrayed me. We're recording back at the Ark proper because we have been recording in my basement, but my basement decided to clog the pipes and water started coming back out the washer.
Blaming drain. Your basement for clogging the pipes.
It should have done what I told it and work.
I can't imagine. Oh, actually, I've had a similar situation, but it is super stressful to have a basement flooded, especially when the basement is like yours, which is full of a lot of things.
It's not flooded. The problem is that anytime you use water right now of any kind,
it backs up.
It backs up into the washer outflow and pours onto the floor, which is not a ton, but it doesn't smell great.
Yeah.
What happened was last week it was clogged and I have a snake and I snaked it and it cleared up. I ran the dishwasher, I showered, everything was fine. And then now yesterday it did it again and I snaked it again and basically got to the point where I'm pulling out tree roots now. So
yeah.
I think they're going to have to grind the tree roots down. And I think what happened was there was a clog that I pushed through and now it's caught on tree roots.
Yeah, yeah.
So if there's tree roots being pulled out, that means they're invading the pipe.
Yes.
I've had this happen
and it's
like
an internal pipe
8 years ago.
Like it's, a house pipe or is it outside the
it's
house?
It's outside the house.
So that means you have clay pipes.
Maybe. I mean, I had clay pipes and we had to hire someone to auger it out, but he may also just have normal pipes.
This happened once before like 8 years ago.
So. Okay.
So they got to get an auger in there and
which will be Monday. I called on Thursday.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, they do that stuff for free.
You smell pretty good.
Right?
Well, it's like 105 base money an hour.
Yeah. Well.
So I'm thinking like about a $300 bill at the very least. So, Patreon.
Yeah.
That's where I'm betrayed.
I'm sorry,
luckily,
your house.
I showered the day before this occurred, so I'm West is like, I'm like, don't flush if you pee.
What if
so that would end up down there?
Yeah, yeah.
We can flush like every couple hours and it's fine.
It's a slow drain. Okay.
But since it's outside, everything, every bit of water that comes from the house hits that clog.
It's there. Mm-hmm. It's there.
Dude, is this interesting?
No,
it sucks.
If you need a...
You should just run a bath and just use that water for a few days.
I suggested that, you know, she could just like... do the 19th century
horse bath
fantasy camp and just heat up some water and take a sponge bath.
I shouldn't have called it a horse bath. I'm sorry.
She calls it that.
Okay, then it's okay. Shoo!
If a woman uses the word whore,
then it's okay.
Then it's okay.
All right.
Sex worker's bath, please.
Yes. Somehow that doesn't sound better.
Just a PC bath.
Yeah. Just a bath.
That's why I said sponge bath.
I was betrayed pretty badly once when I lived.
Is this about me?
When I lived with you guys. No, I think it might be Aaron.
Oh no!
I think I know where this might be going.
I don't know if this story's been on the podcast before, but I bought some Yo Crunch. I've never bought it before. then, and I've never bought it since. But
you were enticed by the logo, the promise of the product, the crunch,
yogurt,
the
and
yo
crunchies
together.
Yeah, so yogurt. It's a yogurt and crunchiness. So I put it in the fridge. And
what kind of crunchiness were we talking about?
I don't remember. Okay. But it was sitting in the fridge for a long time, I'm sure, and I probably had no plans to really eat it. But then one night I wanted it, and it wasn't there. And I remember being an idiot and first inexplicably angry and walked into the living room to them and said, "Hey, who ate my Yo Crunch?" And that, of course, didn't really help my case at all.
Because it's the funniest angry question in the world.
So I haven't lived that down.
You could have been a huge motorcycle guy, and that would have just made you look like a weenie.
Who drank my Pedialyte?
Yeah. Who ate my Yo Crunch?
Did I cop to it immediately? I know I did it.
I don't remember.
I don't remember how long it was between when I ate it and when I was discovered.
Ridiculous. I can't imagine you admitted to it right away.
Oh, I think I would have. Mm.
I was mad. I was like upset. It's stupid.
And then he didn't talk to us for a year.
I don't get it. I did. This is unrelated, but sometime we need to tell the story, unless we've told it, about how you guys got we got the sofa wedged in the stairwell of that house.
We tried to.
Is that a betrayal?
Not a betrayal.
The stairway betrayed us.
There was a lot of crazy fun in that house. We got we got sofas stuck in the stairwell.
Yeah.
You took my Yo Crunch. We set Ryan on fire. Some great things and weird things happened.
I threw some
house.
Southern comfort in your face. And then the very next morning, ants were covering the wall.
We'll have to. Yeah, maybe at some point we'll tell more of those stories.
Real quick, the sofa was, we were trying to get into the basement and we did not, I guess, measure or whatever. Because why would you? And it got stuck halfway down the stairs, and it was there for months.
Yeah, it was there a long
time.
Wasn't
there months?
It wasn't there months. I didn't let that
happen. I recall it being months. We even tried sawing part of it to get it out.
Yeah, so...
Except Aaron just started ripping cushions.
No. So I show up at home. You guys had pushed it and wedged it between the walls in the stairwell. And you had actually got butter or something.
Yeah, we lubed it up.
You lubed it up with butter to try to push it through. And that didn't work. So for a while, we actually used it as kind of a bouncy slide in the stairwell.
Yeah, you had to climb over it like a jungle gym.
Yeah, jump down and stuff and slide down it. That lasted, I don't think, months. It lasted maybe a couple of weeks before.
I can't believe it.
I said, here's a saw. And Aaron starts sawing at the cushions. And then eventually I was like, no. And I sawed the frame so it collapsed it. But... It was pretty funny. It was good times.
Did we use that couch afterwards?
Yeah. It was down there for a long time.
it was all broken.
We must have left it there. I can't imagine we moved that out of there.
I can't remember if we sold it or not. Yeah, I don't know.
Sold it?
Whose couch was it?
I
don't think it was mine either.
I think it was mine from when I lived in a trailer.
Oh, God.
Like, it was, I think, a high...
Disgusting sofa.
Yeah, I bought it on credit that I never paid back. I didn't pay any of that money. This is a lesson to you kids. If you don't own a house, you can just do whatever.
So there's
and like if you're in your 20s, you can get whatever and just don't pay for it.
So this is a story of betrayal.
Your credit will be 300.
This is Ryan betraying everyone that ever gave him anything.
Yeah, I did that throughout my 20s, and now my credit's like 760.
He's
so,
okay again.
Yeah. fuck the man.
How often did you have to settle random things? You get random letters from different creditors or credit agencies.
All the time.
But you did pay them off eventually.
No. The only thing I paid off was when my car got repoed. I had to pay for that. Which sucks. When you don't have a car and they're still a loan, that doesn't seem fair.
That's funny. I don't pay for it, but they took it. What the fuck?
And then I had to pay for it.
Yeah, if you take the car, that should be a no, like, we're square.
No, I don't think so. There's not an who took my Yo Crunch? You don't know.
You didn't get reparations for that.
He's got reparations in lots of ways.
Yeah, it's fine.
I sucked his dick.
No. It's all yogurt under the bridge. It's all good.
I'm trying to think of the story of betrayal, but we've gone on for so long. I'll just say my car is betraying me right now. As well, actually, my car is doing probably what cars do. I feel betrayed by the system, the network of mechanics dealerships.
The network. The mechanic Illuminati.
That's right,
all,
yeah.
Teaming up against you.
The free mechanics.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucked. Oh, nice. Like, West has to take her Jeep to Ozark to get service because they moved their service into out there. I'm like, why? Here's my suggestion. Public transport should be universal, and if you buy a car, that's on you.
Sure.
To take care of?
Yeah.
Like,
no, not personally, but if you buy a car, you buy the problems that come with a car. You could take public transport that should be... Like, I looked into taking a bus to work. It'd take me an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That is brutal. That is ridiculous.
Yeah,
Maybe you should get up a little earlier.
A three-hour round trip is not a reasonable expectation.
In this town. Yeah, I was talking about rail the other day, and, you know, it's more feasible right now in New England because there's bigger towns closer to each other, and Europe has, you know, a good network because there's a lot of major towns all in a consolidated area. The nearest other big city from here is 200 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be a rail line to it.
Oh, yes. No, there used to be a lot more rail here that was passenger, but that's before there was a better means of getting around.
See, that's the problem is, like, the Industrial Revolution happened so hard and fast in this country that we were like, we got cars. Why do we need a public transport system?
I knew an old man that, Nick said there was a station down there that you could get on and you could go to wherever. Yeah, you know, let's say you wanted to go to St. Louis or Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
You could go. You could instead of paying fare, you could if you could.
Dick.
You slop hogs. You would. You would feed the hogs on the train.
I could do that.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what
in my suit.
I'm just
very frustrated.
Everyone's been
this
betrayed.
I don't feel good.
Ryan's.
Yeah. I've been very stressed.
Ryan's basement's messed up. Aaron's car's broken. I loaned Aaron my car.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, times get hard sometimes.
It's weird. It's a weird, rough moment.
The great part is you're like, everybody's perpetually 3 months away from homelessness, but you're never 3 months away from being a millionaire. It's really nice.
Now that's capitalism.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Do you want you still want me to loan you my tiller tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm loaning you my tiller. I'm loaning you my car.
Yeah.
And
we'll do a double blowjob.
And the world is,
he'll get one side, I'll get the other.
I would appreciate it.
Sometimes we'll kiss in the middle.
Yeah,
I just want a case of Yo Crunch from each of you.
I wonder if they even still make that.
I had been staring at that Yo Crunch for
months. No, it was in there a long time. It was stupid. You had every right.
No, I didn't. I did not have every right, but still.
It was. Yeah,
I found it irresistible at the end of the day.
There was some statute of limitations ticking away in his head.
Totally agree.
The second I saw it, I'm going to give him 3 weeks.
But then it's gone, and then I have a problem with it.
I think you discovered
it
immediately.
You should have filled it back up with like mayonnaise and tried to seal it back up or something. With super glue.
And just
dirt.
Cool. This Yo Crunch is terrible.
You left it in there too long.
I guess so. Still, it's really weird.
But I'm going to finish it.
Yeah, I'm a stubborn asshole.
You write an angry letter to Dole or whoever makes it.
Dear Yo Crunch. Dear Mr. Crunch.
The other story of betrayal I was going to tell was the time that Ryan and I, we were going to get a house together. I think we were living at the first place we ever lived together, and then we were living at my mom's or something.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to get a place together, and there was a couple girls who were also going to
live with
with us. And you found a place in Battlefield, Missouri, and I met up with the guy who owned it, the guy who would be our landlord, and gave him a tasty check deposit a deposit for $500.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple weeks later, he called us and told us that he wasn't going to rent us the property. He was also going to keep our money.
Yeah, what the fuck?
And so I took him to court. We went to small claims court. It was
Didn't he own like a franchise at a Blimpies or something?
No, you're getting ahead of it.
Hang on
a second.
Okay.
So we took him to small claims court. I probably way overprepared. I remember I had documents about it.
Overpreparing?
I know.
No.
I remember reading it aloud, the story in court. I was never there when I looked at the house, but something about, I guess, Ryan and one of the girls that was at the house, he tried to use as an excuse of why he didn't rent it to us and why he was keeping our money. Anyway, and he countersued us also.
Like Larry Flint.
But long story short, we won the small claims court case and judgment in favor of us times two. I called him a few days later, gave it a week to settle in. I called him and I was like, you know, how you want to get that money to us? And he said, oh, I'm not going to pay you.
Guess what? I'm not giving you shit.
He said, I know I've got the opportunity to appeal and I will be appealing and I know I'm going to win that appeal. So, I wouldn't expect that money anytime soon. And he said the reason he was doing that is, you know, I got a little upset because I heard your mom call me a bastard in the audience, which I didn't hear, but I sure probably did happen. So I knew
that's not great.
I had done so much research. I knew exactly what he was in. He was entitled to an appeal, but I knew that it wasn't a very long window for him to do it. It was something like a month. So I waited the longest amount of time I could to where I knew that he was out of time to appeal.
Like a spider, you sprung your trap.
But then I called him again and said, where's my money? And he said, I told you I'm going to appeal. I said, well, have you appealed? And he's like, no, but I'm going to. And I said, well, you can't.
That must have felt so good.
So you can go ahead and just pay me the money that you owe me and everything's going to be fine. Of course, he doesn't believe me or and says he's going to appeal. I, at this point, I mean, I can't force the money away out of him. And I don't really know how to get
the court
a hold of him.
The court can't force the money out of him?
Well, they can, but you have to file. You have to know enough about what's going on with the guy to do it. Like if I had his bank records, I could go to the court.
Oh,
if I
God.
Knew yeah, his official crazy. Address and stuff, like I didn't have the information I needed. So serendipitously, maybe months later, my aunt calls me and says, here's a lady that you just need to talk to. And I call her and it happens to be this guy's ex-wife, who my aunt just ran into. She was a manager at the local Toys R Us. Somehow my aunt ran into her. They somehow figured out the relation to this case.
Wow.
She told me that she had just run into him. They ended on very bad terms. She did not care for him at all. And she had just seen him working at a Blimpies in Springfield. And so that was all I needed to go to the courts and get his wages garnished, which is what we did. And we finally got our money.
Well done.
$500, though. I mean, at the time, it's a, you know, you're a kid, it's a lot of money, but it was a lot of work for $500.
There is no better ally than an angry ex.
I know.
Good Lord. Well, good job.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have done all that shit.
It was principle, man.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Why don't you whip us up something deceptively delicious that's going to please our neurotransmitters while double crossing our livers?
Drink. Soon.
What this?
This be a gin hound. This is a drink. I actually did theme next episode's cocktail, but this is just a drink from the Death & Co. book utilizing my new slow juicer, which, since I can't wash dishes, the components of it are just soaking in soapy water right now. I guess I could take them out and rinse them with the hose.
What is a slow juicer?
It's basically has a corkscrew crank that it juices them slowly. It just slowly turns and squeezes the juice out of it. And then you can reverse it and try to squeeze a little bit more out of it.
What's the benefit of the slow juice?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I just know that my company paid for it because it's a health thing.
There it is.
So this is a gin hound, which is 2 ounces or 60 mils of gin, a half ounce or 15 mils of celery juice, a half ounce of lime juice, a half ounce of honey syrup, which is just a 2-to-1 honey to water ratio, which makes honey easy to pour. Shake all the ingredients with ice and then strain into a coupe, and there's no garnish. From the book, it said, celery is a misunderstood ingredient. People think of it as bland and characterless, but it's actually quite intense. This gimlet-style drink is meant to showcase its big flavor.
Let's cheers.
I don't know. It's so
I'm
full.
I'm afraid to now.
Ding!
Oh. Yeah, I like...
Who says celery doesn't have flavor?
Jerks. And
I mean, that's part of the holy trinity of
mufflers and gufflers.
What is of Cajun cooking?
Celery. I like putting celery salt on certain things. Chicago dogs. That's like a key ingredient on a Chicago dog. It's good stuff. It's almost like it almost has a pepper. It's almost like a peppery pepper.
Supply chain.
I love the celery overtones.
Never
of
had
this.
Anything
it's
like
really
it.
Great.
That's yeah, what I said too. Yeah, I had this and I had Wes try it, and I'm like, I've never had anything like this. And it's kind of a savory sweet thing going yeah. on that mm-hmm. I think would go well with like roasted meats or something.
Yeah.
Or just as an aperitif.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Was the celery slow pressed?
Yeah, that's what I juiced. It was a celery.
Lemon, celery,
lime.
Lime.
Lime, honey, celery. Gin.
Lime, honey, celery.
You never
maybe
listen.
I'm thinking lemon because it's yellow. I was tricked.
It's green.
It's I would I don't know. It's kind of both.
Okay. Split the difference. I choose no side.
Very good.
Once so there you go. Speaking of drinks, I thought we could talk about the cocktail art book. Specialities from McAdams, a selection of inebriants for the robotically inclined.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 60-page Transformers cocktail and art book with 27 drink recipes.
I'm just mad we didn't do this first. I feel like we have a legal right to this.
Well, they're doing pre-orders right now when this comes out, and you'll have about a week still for the pre-orders. I think they start the pre-orders. Pre-order ends on May 15th.
So this can be found and pre-ordered at the Twitter presence McAdams Drinks, at McAdams Drinks, McAdams Drinks, through, and it looks like it's all organized by Twitter user at Mirai Baby, MiraiBaby.
And I'm sure there are other ones on here too, but I know that our friend Apollo did artwork for it.
Yep, that's right.
Like robots, like boozy recipe books, like the two of them together.
Yes, I do.
Then this is for you.
Yeah, I pre-ordered one, so we should get it probably in June, I think.
Awesome.
So yeah, once we get it, we'll make some drinks from it.
Yeah, and we can probably elaborate on it a bit more.
Pre-order is open until the day before your birthday, Aaron.
That's awesome. If they do it again, I think we would love to contribute some art and maybe some cocktail recipes. So keep on keeping on.
We should make a zine of our own.
I do.
And there's no reason we can't include cocktail ideas in that.
Sure. No. I
not to rip these guys off.
No.
We got our own thing going. Hey. We have a clear established relationship with alcohol.
I think I've said this a couple of times, but I want in our next booty box, I'm going to include like all of the like a book of all the cocktails we've done so far.
All of them?
Yeah.
I think it would be great.
With an illustration for each one?
Not necessarily.
I guess I think like a proper cocktail book would have an illustration or photo accompanying
We have the photos.
Yeah, but some of those are garbage.
Yep.
Well, hey, they get to see our progress.
Yeah, we definitely should do it sometime. I think it would go over well just as far as a product, but you know that...
The McAdams people surely appreciate hearing us appropriate their idea
for our
live here.
It looks really cool. Go check out their Twitter handle. Sorry. And they've got some pictures, some screenshots and stuff of the book and everything. It looks really cool.
Yeah, I can't wait to flip through it, see the artwork. There's so many awesome illustrators in the Transformers community. Do you guys know the reference to McAdams?
I do not.
It's an IDW comics thing, I think. I know IDW often will pull things from other versions and generations and make it their own, but the most popular, yes, it is a bar that supposedly existed on Cybertron way back in the days before the war,
the Golden Age.
But then it was reopened after the war, and then after, I guess, the Autobots won the war in contemporary times, Blur bought it and turned it into a bar. He owned it, but I think he kept the name McAdams.
Cybertron, land of the metal moon.
A lot of historical things are connected to it.
Cool. Yeah, so go check that out.
All right, then we have a shout out. I'd like to.
This is going
to
be the longest pre-roll to get to the episode. I hope you guys like just hearing us fucking talk.
I think people seem
to. It seems
to.
Like they do. It's a free show.
Yeah, so,
that's right.
And I do believe most people have the ability to fast forward to stuff.
Exercise your index finger 15 seconds at a time.
I exercise my index finger quite often.
What does that mean? In your butthole?
I guess banging my butthole.
Okay.
Flicking his man clit.
I opened that door. That's not really my style.
That little seam on your balls is where your pussy lips sewed together when you were in the womb.
I'm really regretting I said anything at all. Please continue, Aaron.
We got an iTunes review from iTunes user Running for Mayor.
Okay.
The headline is Titty City.
Oh, shit.
the person
whatever says, could that reference
the person said, I'm pretty sure we would have all had a better time on that float trip if we hadn't taken Ryan.
I know also, Ryan would have.
Also, we only floated for about 4 hours. I feel like this might be somebody
Someone
we
who
know
was on the trip.
Yeah. Somebody on that
so
trip.
The mayor, well, that was the it was the mayor of Titty City.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he's
the mayor himself. Okay. All right.
I don't
remember inviting that mayor on our float, but
I am suspect though. I'm trying to think who it could possibly be.
No matter. I don't care. I love a good ringer.
Yep.
Jacking up our iTunes five stars. So I appreciate it.
Mayor of Titty City.
Thank you.
Yeah. We get enough of our friends to jack up the review ratings, maybe it'll average out to 5 again. Although 41.5
reviews.
We have 45 star ratings and 1 1 star rating.
Was that the dude who listened to 20 of our episodes?
After 20
that's
episodes,
gotta average to star. 5. So I guess iTunes just doesn't do that. Once you get one bad review, you're tarnished forever.
iTunes is awesome.
Son of a bitch. Thank you for the review. We love them. Leave a review and we'll review your review. On air, international listeners, let us know if you leave a review because we don't have immediate line of sight to that. Just put in a little extra effort. You put in the effort to do the review, just send us a little note so we can look at it and feel good about ourselves. We're almost to 50. Should we do some kind of contest?
Like what?
I don't know.
Get us to whoever gives the 50th review.
Then everybody's going to be waiting.
Yeah,
I know. It doesn't. Yeah, dude, that sounds like it would be problematic.
It's almost like we'd have to give away for everything leading up to 50.
I don't want to do that.
Is probably stuff we could talk about offline.
Just give us 5 stars. Get on there, give us 5 stars.
5 stars, please.
If we can stretch this out even a little bit longer, we have a new patron.
Oh, yeah.
And you know we love to shout out our patrons, those who vote with their dollar, as the capitalists say, Ryan. However, this person has asked to remain a mystery, so I will acknowledge this person with the phrase, unyielding resolve has no conqueror. So thank you, mystery person, for the very sweet, sweet note. It made all of our days, and it's really cool. I swear our listeners, for the most part, are either open, kind, genuine people, or they're just foaming at the mouth perverts.
Sometimes a little column A.
You could be a sweet kind genuine pervert for
yes,
sure.
Absolutely.
And that is our audience. We
there
love
you,
you.
Yeah, we do.
The little shout out that the unyielding resolve has no conqueror. That's very appropriate. This new patron's favorite character is Omega Supreme.
Oh,
so that's
good
very
episode, then.
In line with what we have going on here. So let's kick off.
Thank you for money.
Episode 46, The Secret of Omega Supreme, written by David Wise and animated by an unknown studio.
Studio.
That's 2 secrets for the price of one.
Yes.
We have the second. This is the second origin story of the Constructicons.
What? They can't do that.
There'll be a third. This is the first one was in Heavy Metal War, where they were built in a cave.
Yes.
I'm built in a cave!
Help!
I'm built.
Technically, the third one isn't an origin story.
Not.
It's just something that conflicts with...
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Everything that we've learned to date.
I have... This whole thing is troubling to me. I feel really sorry for... I kind of feel sorry for the Constructicons in a weird
way. I guess I can say it now. I have that in my notes later. But like, why? We're getting a little ahead of ourselves. But why Omega Supreme is mad at the Constructicons baffles me. Because they're victims.
He knows.
Shouldn't he be mad at Megatron?
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, you're not mad at the person who's in a cult.
I wonder if, again, we're ahead of ourselves, if whatever happened to him in that brief encounter with that, I can't remember what it's
Robo
called.
Smasher.
It made him stupid.
It does imply that it didn't make him stupid.
It changed his speech patterns.
It broke something in him, and he can't feel emotions, basically.
Right.
Except for anger, I guess.
Yeah, I guess rage.
And revenge, yes.
We open
with... Oh my God, he's a psychopath.
That's what happens when you have a couple head injuries.
Oh, it's true. That's one of the real dangerous things, is head injuries can make you go, you know...
Oh, God. I don't want to talk
sideways.
About it. I don't want to talk about it right now. But I don't want to talk about it.
Pop your wife, pop your kids, pop yourself.
No.
Chris Benoit. He was a wrestler.
Every linebacker ever.
Yeah.
All right. So we open with Waves. crashing against an oceanic cliffside, emerging from the depth, some kind of rocket. And contained within this rocket, could it be the secret of Omega Supreme?
No.
Nope. It's just the Constructicons. They're going to take over an asteroid that has a perfectly convenient flat surface.
Yeah. Oh,
the rocket God. Is going to hook into this astronomic rock and get into position. But into position for what?
Okay. I'm sure you guessed I was going to have some problems with this.
No way.
I'm going to even leave aside the physics of the way this asteroid, they move this asteroid, which is stupid and ridiculous.
What about the way it looks? Can we start with that?
Oh, I got some stuff on that.
Okay, all right.
Why did they make the asteroid look like a floating island from Avatar? It doesn't look anything like an asteroid. Do you even know what an asteroid is? Like, it looks like a platform that fell out from under Wile E. Coyote.
Like, it doesn't have to look like this.
Yeah, it could just look like a potato.
It
like
just
a
would never
asteroid.
Look like this.
Because no, it's impossible.
And even later on in the episode, it would be better off that it would be more round shaped,
like an egg,
like an egg. So I think that was
maybe there's no implication for this in the episode. But by the way, Sideswipe's hanging out with Megatron.
I have that.
I completely missed that.
Sideswipe switched allegiances. We're at 1:34
nice.
Seconds, but I have a lot more to say about asteroids.
Maybe off camera, the Constructicons have been here before and they terraformed it and that work got done and they had to go back, get new Energon, and then they came back. I don't know.
I think the unknown studio just kind of missed the ball on some of the...
It's really just a strange choice. I just don't get it, but whatever.
And then they put Sideswipe in there. That's really funny.
Asteroid mining actually is a good idea, though.
Yes.
Like S-type asteroids, of which there are lots, contain large amounts of metal... basically, a 10-meter asteroid contains about 1.4 million pounds of metal like nickel, iron, and cobalt, and about 100 pounds of valuable metals like platinum and gold. Uh-huh. So it's been speculated, I think this was in 97, that a metal asteroid with a diameter of 1.6 kilometers or 1 mile will be worth about $20 trillion.
Yeah, we got to get that stuff into orbit, man.
There have been two serious asteroid mining companies that were created in the mid-2010s, like 2016, but they're both pretty much defunct now, and because they didn't deliver on investors like expectations. So they had like NASA scientists and like backing from, I'm blanking on his name, I just said Avatar.
Elon Musk?
No.
James Cameron.
James Cameron was an investor for like $20 million in one of them.
The payoff would be, it would just be the biggest payoff ever.
Yeah, I mean, there's also the possibility that you'd flood the market and tank prices.
Yeah, I mean, that's when we talk about the value of it, or I would assume that a smart economist that is talking about that would talk about how that would impact the overall market.
Sure, but at the same time, I think there's a benefit to just having those resources. I understand, but I think eventually, if we actually can prevent from wiping ourselves out, that's going to be a next step at some point. Is off-world mining,
and then we can build a Dyson sphere.
Yep, we can capture all the energy from our star and move on to that next.
What do we need to make this Dyson sphere?
Well,
I mean,
we need something that can capture the all of the energy from the star that we're near.
I think there's also like Dyson strip or Dyson ring, where basically a Dyson sphere completely encloses the star.
Yeah.
And the planet, and like you get 100% of the energy from the star.
That's one technique.
So you enclose it literally around the entire sun itself.
Yeah. It's a theoretical concept about capturing all.
But it would have to also include any planet you want to live on, because otherwise none of the energy is getting to that planet.
Or you just live on this,
or you live on the surface of the sphere. Yeah. And there's also a Dyson ring, which would just be like, instead of a sphere, it'd be a ring around the star. So you get like a significant amount of the energy from the star. These are levels of civilization.
It's Kardashev. How is the sphere constructed? What's it made from?
Is it made from
electromagnetism?
It's theoretical. It's whatever.
Yeah,
it's
a completely theoretical thing.
Couldn't you make a Dyson tube that encircles the sun, and then there's a tube that stretches all the way
right.
to our planet.
We've made the vacuum cleaners. Why can't we put them around the star?
There's a Star Trek episode with a Dyson
sphere.
Yeah,
it's really... Check Wiki at some
Next
point.
Generation.
Research Kardashev scale.
Yep. Yeah. Dang. Check it out.
So there's different levels of...
It's fun hanging out with you dorks.
The Kardashev scale is really fascinating. Like there's like levels, and like one level is to harness the power of a star. The one is to harvest the entire a civilization harnessing all the power of a galaxy.
A galaxy, yeah, or solar,
then,
yeah.
Then universe, and then multiverse. It's crazy.
It would be awesome if this was the secret of Omega Supreme.
I don't know if humanity has Omega, it in us to go the distance.
You know what?
I think we might kill ourselves. Probably.
Omega Supreme has the color scheme and kind of the makeup of a Dyson's vacuum cleaner.
Kinda.
I think it would be cool.
I'm looking
if he
at him right now on the shelf.
He could. He totally could transform into a Dyson vacuum. Listeners, submit your concepts for Omega Supreme Dyson vacuum cleaner now. I'm done.
Okay.
If we didn't pick up on it, the Decepticons are harvesting some kind of ore.
Yeah.
That Megatron is, and Megatron's going to go meet them. Meet them there. He tells Astrotrain.
Oh, God.
This is a weird moment. He tells Astrotrain, "Be ready to depart in 1 hour, space shuttle mode." And there's this long pause
where it seems like Astrotrain should have a line or something.
And also, but no shit.
What are you going to be, a train?
Right. Maybe I'll just play that.
Let's okay. Yeah, it's weird. It's real weird. A lot of real weird moments in this. It's muted.
First batch of ore should be transported in 2 hours. Astrotrain, you ready to depart for the asteroid in 1 hour? Space shuttle mode. Activating to alert status, Megatron.
It's just a long,
long
pause.
Beat where they zoom into Astrotrain's face.
He's like, did you just fucking tell me to go space shuttle mode, bitch?
It's like he had to reboot or like the internet was slow.
This ore is rich in energy. It has the potential to end the Decepticons' power problems permanently. Cosmos just happens to be out there, and he's picking up on some of these wacky energy waves. He investigates and discovers Devastator's appendages just laboring out there on the gravel, and he's like, shit.
Mm-hmm. Goes to report to Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Who immediately is like, get back out there and get me some solid information. But I'm like, do you need to know anything other than Constructicons are doing something?
Yeah. No, that's...
like, well, it's probably bad.
What more information do you need? You're not trying a court case here.
You're not taking somebody to small claims court for $500.
No, this is Constructicons on an asteroid close to Earth that doesn't belong there.
Yeah. So Cosmos leaves.
And yeah, he does. Prime is going to go seek advice.
Doesn't he first tell people, he's like, don't go anywhere. And then he leaves.
Yes.
Okay.
He's going to go get advice.
Right.
From Omega Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
The only other spacewalker that the Autobots know other than Cosmos. And I bet he has some secrets to tell. Spill that tea, you glass-faced fuck.
It's weird that, like, is Omega just kind of hanging out in the woods?
In the forest, I guess.
Kind of like, he's got, like, PTSD, and he's just kind of like, kind of a hermit.
Well, he's too big for the base. He is a base.
That's true. They should just move into Omega Supreme.
He'd love that. You could never masturbate if you knew little people were living inside you.
I could.
Isn't Teletran watching?
I could.
All right.
I could. I have to.
Yeah.
Have somebody watching us, otherwise I can't come.
That's not what I was responding
to. I know what you do.
There's also sort of a summoning that happens. I don't know if Omega Supreme is revered in some way that Optimus Prime has to have this formal
Omega,
let's chill.
Yeah, and they do chill. They like kind of sit
they cop a squat cross-legged on the ground.
They probably smoked a J off cam.
Yeah.
Omega's like, yeah, I hear you. And I also like how when Optimus Prime says he's going to see Omega Supreme, Power Glide says, sounds like a barrel of laughs.
Yeah. Power Glide's a jerk.
Omega Supreme is not interested in fucking with the Decepticon space rock until he hears the word Constructicons.
Mm-hmm.
And once he knows they're involved, he goes ballistic. He's ready to give them a beat down from the seat down, but he's hesitant to open up about his backstory. Why does he hate the Constructicons so much? But Prime wants to know, and he orders him to tell the story. And hey, can you talk like a normal Autobot while you're at it? More like ableist, Prime.
It was pretty rude, but I was like, that's the problem. And then Omega is like, okay, just this once, I'll talk like I did on Cybertron. Which, so I guess it's an affectation.
Yeah, I guess.
But why would you do that?
Just this once, I'll talk normal.
Or that's what I thought.
But he doesn't really talk normal throughout. I mean, he talks normal in the flashback, but as a narrator, he's still talking the way he talks.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, here's what actually happened. I don't think they needed this. Like, I thought Omega was so devastated by the events he's about to tell us that he just shut down, and that's why his truncated speech is part of that. But it's not. Like, we'll learn about why that line is in there in script deviations.
Okay.
Oh. All right, I'll wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
Omega
agrees.
That's
how you tease people and keep them listening.
Yeah.
Answer, Private.
Tell you about it later.
Rain check.
Imminent.
Imminent.
Omega agrees to speak good like we do and tells the story of the betrayal.
Excellent reference.
Years ago, back on Cybertron, some doctor cleared Omega for work. After all, he's as fit as any Guardian he's ever examined. There's some sweet Star Trek sound effects here.
Mm-hmm.
And Omega needs to go back to work and watch over the beautiful Crystal City.
There are a lot of those sounds.
Whenever there's weird tentacles or shimmering, they just Foley and cicada sounds. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what they do. It's really weird.
At this time, Omega likes to kick it at the water cooler with his work pals, the Constructicons.
They really drive it home that they're friends. Hi, my friends. Yes, our friend.
So I guess we're meant to think the Constructicons are like not Decepticons right now. Even though
I think it's an animation error.
I had
the insignia.
Question.
The fact they're wearing the insignia. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought.
And probably also the fact that they're Earth-like
Earth
construction
vehicles.
Yeah. Well, Sideswipe was standing next to Megatron a while ago.
That's true.
There's a lot of problems with this episode. I thought maybe I was like trying to dig for a reason. I thought maybe it was before Stark lines were drawn and not all Decepticons were with Megatron or something.
Like, and I thought that too, but then there's a reference where they're like, there's Decepticons at the city walls.
Right. It turns out the Constructicons and Omega Supreme built the Crystal City together, and they've been down since day one. They're catching up for a bit, but then it's time to get back to work. Meanwhile, Megatron is watching with high interest from some kind of alleyway or something in the city. He has his new invention, the Robo Smasher, that captures innocent robots and reprograms them into his
slaves.
We get slaves in the next episode too.
I was going to say loyal bond servant. He wants to use that on the Constructicons, and he does.
So okay, the Robo Smasher. Is this a stupid name or the dumbest name that's ever been? I don't know why they chose Robo Smasher. I decided to try to think of like better names. I came up with the Mangler, the Deprogrammer, the Deceptor, the Dominator, or the Tickler. I think those are all better than Robo Smasher because it's not very descriptive about what it does.
I feel like we're watching this with 2021 lenses, and I don't know if at the time this didn't seem corny or corny to adults.
I
think kids today would be like Robo Smasher.
I don't know. I've got kids, and I think that they would just go along with it.
Well, this is also
it is stupid.
They're not going to be quite as critical. We're going to be more critical than a lot of people watching this. Obviously,
it's true.
It's what we do.
Yeah, and it's true.
We tear it down to feel good about ourselves.
That's right.
This is meant to sell toys, ultimately. It's a 22-minute commercial. So it's not like there's... Although, here's my point of, like, a lot of kids' cartoons now, I guess most of them aren't necessarily toy-based, but they're pretty sophisticated.
They are.
So it doesn't take much. I think maybe in the 80s they just thought kids were dumb and didn't care to even try to make it
the writers
not dumb.
The writers are definitely better these days.
I don't think they thought kids were dumb though. I mean, we interviewed Ron Friedman. Yeah. Ron Friedman didn't think kids were dumb.
No.
He thought there was some complex psychological stuff at work there, and that he had to employ in writing and helping craft this story.
I guess to my
story,
way of thinking, it takes so much, like, such a little amount of more effort to make it better.
I wonder if it's just, I think it's just evolution of product. Yeah. I mean, kids are different today. They have a completely different culture and media that they're saturated in, and things have to be different to make them happy.
This kind of change isn't just limited to cartoons. I mean, writing for television has got more sophisticated as well.
Probably.
It's also got dumber as well. I mean, there's a proliferation of things, but there's better. I mean, yes, there's more complicated storylines as a whole than there used to be.
You know. And there is plenty of dumb stuff. I mean, most of it's on YouTube. just if you're in the mood for dumb shit, just go check out those Paul brothers.
I think you're right about the evolution, because the 80s was an explosion of, like, that's when kids' cartoons really exploded, because Reagan, and I'm conflicted about this, lifted the idea where you can't market basically a 22-minute commercial to children, which is what they are doing. So, yeah, there's an evolution of, like, well, this is what we're doing. And then, like, in the 90s, it got more sophisticated with, like, Batman the Animated Series. So, yeah, that's true. And also, like, even movies where, like, if you watch an older movie, it's much slower paced because now we have shorthand for it. Like, we understand more as an audience. We've been trained to
get
cues.
Yeah, it's...
And I would wager for its time, this was pretty sophisticated.
Yeah, it was.
I guess you're right, yeah.
Oh, it was.
Trying to think of what came before it. I was really young when this came out. I mean, I think about Muppet Babies. Muppet Babies
was,
like,
good,
mind-blowingly amazing.
Yeah,
like,
Muppet Babies.
How could kids even get on board with that?
We did. Yeah, again, kids are very capable.
We're also not giving kids credit, maybe.
Right. Kids
and
are
I
very
have to
capable.
Think people making this had to be basing this a lot of their work on what was the known, like, psychology about children at the time.
Probably.
All right. Well, yeah.
Sorry. I guess we covered it.
Yeah. We're paused right here at like 5:48 on a guy that Megatron just turned into a Decepticon. He's got a pretty sweet, like, fucking mustache going on.
I like the way he looks. It's a little bit of that Floro Dairy influence peeping through here.
In the next episode, I feel like that. Well, yeah. Some Floro Dairy stuff too.
I agree. Yeah. So we see the Robo Smasher in action on this nameless nobody, and we see that it, you know, digs into the skull and turns him into a slave.
I think in another media he does get a name and a character. I can't remember. I feel like I saw that on TF Wiki, but
I'm positive that you are correct and I didn't note it.
I've never been wrong.
It doesn't take long for Megatron to get the Constructicons in a dark alleyway within the Crystal City, which, by the way, for a city, it really just looks like a big
building.
Museum.
Yeah, it looks like a sweet-ass museum.
Yeah.
Also, the Robo Smasher, to bring it back, looks like a vacuum.
What?
I think it looks like a vacuum. Yeah. Wait.
Weird.
Okay. All right. Maybe I've never used a vacuum.
You've always had one of those
You're like,
now I get the connection.
A shop vac. Gotcha. It looks like a big shop vac.
I've never seen a shop vac that looks like this, though.
All right. I don't know.
Hours later, outside the Crystal City, the Constructicons catch back up with Omega Supreme. They beg him, head to the capital city. It's under Decepticon attack. They pledge to guard the city while Omega goes to join that attack. But sadly, it turns out they were lying.
It was all a ruse.
They're lying to him.
So sad.
Discovering this ruse, he runs back to the Crystal City just in time to see it explode.
The Constructicons destroy it. Here's my question. Why?
Yeah.
What?
I guess it's an act of terror. You know, you're Megatron. You're trying to instill fear.
To have any purpose.
They wanted to destroy something that was beautiful.
Well, they should have just beat the fuck out of Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh, no, wait. That wasn't Jake Gyllenhaal. Who the fuck was that?
I don't know who that was.
He's
For
famous.
Every panda that wouldn't fuck to save its species.
Who the fuck was that?
Jared Leto.
That's who it was. The Constructicon.
That's a Fight Club reference, by the way.
Jared Leto.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
If you don't know, now you know.
Yeah, there you go.
We come back from commercial.
This is the point in the episode where we start to get weird recycled animation cells.
Yes. This isn't that great.
No, it is not.
Poor Omega, though.
He looks like he's sobbing.
Yeah. He is. He's got his head.
We cut back to the present, and Omega's sitting next to Prime, and he's got his head down on his folded arms with his knees
tucked in. That's a moment. That's like a big moment, man.
Prime's like, tell me more. Omega, we go back.
Did
in
you
time
get very
again.
Far? Tell me more. Does he have a car?
Listen, I'm not going to support rape culture by adding on to this series of jokes.
Did you get very far is a weird thing.
Did you put up a fight?
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Thinking about that and how rapey the movie Grease is,
yes.
The musical rather, and movie musical.
Yes.
I did not know. I've never seen the movie Staying Alive.
No, so, it's not Staying Alive. Saturday Night Fever.
I've never seen Saturday Night Fever. Right. Yeah. And I didn't know that basically he endorses the rape of some girl that adores him.
His character does.
Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
It's pretty
John Travolta's character is like, I don't really like her. Raper, fellas.
The movie's got a lot of the movie's got a very dark element to it. Like people are
I need to watch it. Is it
him.
Good? Do people consider it good? I mean, it's like people, it's iconic.
I've seen it. I think it's a good movie, but like the disco part of it is just one facet of it.
Yeah,
of
course, I will say
that's what marketed it, but it's got a whole.
I would say fast forward to those parts. The movie overall, I don't think it didn't make me feel good. I did not feel good after
well,
I watched
it's it. It's not a feel good movie.
I right? felt kind of gross.
People think it is just
the baller soundtrack.
Yeah, because it's like, oh yeah, disco. It's about the life in the disco. Not really. It's about
about this dirtbag.
Yeah, it's about a guy that's kind of torn between these two worlds of upper class Manhattan and his his lower class.
What
life.
Was his what's his profession?
He works in a paint store.
Okay,
that's it.
All right,
but then by night he can be like this.
He's just amazing.
He's this.
He's
disco.
A superhero.
Yeah,
he's a
and
god.
it's this tension between that and there's some. Bad behavior involved with him and his guys that he hangs out with. It's super misogynistic and wrong.
And it's not like you ever hear anybody putting him on a pedestal.
I want to be just like that dude.
Right, exactly.
but having never seen that, I just didn't know that. Yeah. My stereotype of the movie is it's about dancing.
It's been a long
having a good time.
It's been a long time since I saw it. Dark movie.
All right. Well, away from that and back to this. Omega he's running towards the destroyed city. He kneels by the rubble and the Constructicons burn out. He plans to rescue his friends. At this point, I feel like he kind of understands what's happened, maybe.
Yeah.
He wants to rescue his friends and get his revenge on Megatron at this point, right?
He does. Well, he does do. He does rescue them and tries to reprogram them.
Right.
So.
That's true. But it failed.
I don't know where it turns into him being...
Right.
Enraged at them.
He tracks the Constructicons for weeks. He eventually finds them. He traps them. He confronts them. He makes a ditch.
Pushes them into it.
Turret fire. And then, yeah, he attempts to reprogram them. And it seems as though it worked. And maybe that's the thing that is the betrayal that he feels really bad about. To everybody's point earlier, it's not their fault.
Right.
But they're already brainwashed, but they have the intellectual ability to pretend like we're good again.
Right.
Thanks. He quote unquote reprograms them and says, all right, let's go rebuild Crystal City.
It's so distressing to me that change in them by the Robo Smasher is irreversible.
It's permanent.
Yeah, I really don't like that.
I thought it was a good choice. Like, sure, because otherwise it's too complicated, but it also makes it feel like there's real stakes. Like it's really dangerous.
Yeah. It's so sad.
So they're walking to Crystal City and they come across the Robo Smasher. Yes, there's more weird recycled animation
yeah,
for whatever
it's
reason.
It's like they were missing 2 minutes and had to just fill it with stuff from before.
And this is the point when Omega learns that the programming can never be undone.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the implication that a lot of the Decepticons, maybe even the high-ranking ones, this is how they were
possibly.
Brought in?
Yeah, that's like, are all the Decepticons like that?
Can't be. I wouldn't think all, but like...
Are many of them that
I don't know.
So they form
Devastator.
Which Megatron has now given them that ability. They did not have that before.
Right. They pin Omega Supreme against the wall. The Robo Smasher then tackles Omega Supreme, attempts to reprogram him, but Omega kind of wiggles away. The Constructicons then ditch him again. And when
Scrapper says, let's get out of here.
When Omega comes to, he is now filled with hate
yeah.
for the Constructicons.
So yeah, maybe it does have something to do with the after effects of him being zapped by the Robo Smasher.
It started to change him and it didn't finish. So he's kind of stuck in this strange state of anger, but not, you know, turned over to evil. See, look at his eyes, they're all weird. He's got PTSD, man.
It's true.
Omega Supreme has chased the Constructicons for millions of years. The reason he's even on Earth is because he heard that they had rejoined Megatron here.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting.
It is. And maybe it's why he lives off-site. Maybe he's not part of the main squad because he's got his side hustle. He's not really day-to-day. He's retired, but he's got this mission.
He seems kind of antisocial.
Prime commands Omega Supreme. I guess he still has allegiance and loyalty and has to listen to the Autobot commander. Take no action until he gives the so-say.
The so-say?
Kaiser
Sammy so-say?
Kaiser so-say?
We could do this all day.
So you
I wonder if he can.
So-say?
Nope. I'm spent.
So-say, can you see?
Astrotrain takes off. He's got a little bit of the Greg Louganis flair here.
I guess it's been an hour.
That was a long story, Omega. He's heading to the asteroid. The Constructicons load up some ore and dump it in Astrotrain's cargo hold.
So they're dumping the raw ore into Astrotrain to send it back to a refinery on Earth. This seems super inefficient to me. Like, I think it would be a better idea to build a refinery on the asteroid.
Sure. You would make a much better leader of the Decepticons.
I think that I'd make a better leader than almost anyone.
Sure.
Oh, okay, so we just saw
We start a bunch of weird, weird animation things here. Cosmos is spying on this, as commanded by Optimus Prime to do, and then interacting. He's going to grab some ore as his proof of what's going on here.
Prime wanted him to get more information.
He slips and falls on Astrotrain's wing, but there is no consequence to this. There's no reaction.
It seems like, so he takes some ore, Cosmos takes some ore out of Astrotrain's cargo hold, falls against Astrotrain's wing, and then we cut to Astrotrain's shuttle, like, cockpit, and I feel like there should be a line there, because then they say that, later in a second, we're going to say that Cosmos was spotted, but nothing happens.
Yeah, it has no impact so on weird. The story.
So, a little bit of gravity news.
Oh, give it to us.
Nothing, but the gravity on this asteroid would probably be negligible. Like, almost not even
things
noticeable.
Floating around.
What if this ore
is super dense?
Yeah, I was going to say, does density plays into it?
I don't know you have a material that's dense enough at that size to, unless it's like a
neutron star.
And if it was that dense at that size, would Astrotrain be able to just haul it off?
No.
Actually, it would be the consequence would probably be destroying the whole solar system. If there was like a neutron star dense.
I think
thing
the
right there.
A down and dirty calculation I've heard is like an ounce or like a teaspoonful of the material made up of a neutron star would weigh billions of tons on Earth.
Sounds
it's amazing.
Precise.
Imagine something. I mean, you know, we're made up of atoms, but there's more empty space than there is. So
that's
imagine,
why I can put my hand through Ryan's arm.
Like vision.
Yeah. So just imagine if you took all the empty space and actually filled it with space and it becomes super, super heavy.
If you were on Deimos, which is Mars's smaller moon, it has an average diameter of about 8 miles, which is clearly bigger than this asteroid. A human could get a running jump and reach escape velocity. It's about 12 miles an hour. Although technically it's impossible to run on Deimos because when your footfalls would propel you into the air and you just fall for like hundreds of yards.
I feel like I have dreams like that where I can't control my body. Oh no, that was just a float trip.
Callbacks.
Cosmos, he takes the ore to Earth. It's solid evidence.
Oh
no pun
God.
Intended. Prime commands Cosmos to go back into space and track Astrotrain's journey back to Earth. Cosmos is going to bring a rifle to work.
This is I had the opposite response where I'm like, Cosmos really needs to think about taking a course in anticipating what your boss wants because obviously he wants to know where the refinery is. Why you keep doing these half measures? I do not know.
The refinery. There's no refinery.
There is a refinery. Prime destroys it later.
Oh, yeah. But he doesn't tell Cosmos to go to the refinery.
No, but he doesn't
tells
track
Cosmos
Astro
to
Train.
Track Astro Train.
Who's going to the refinery?
Okay.
Perceptor's just standing in the corner doing nothing. And he's like, Prime's like, Perceptor, analyze this shit.
He turns into a, and he just turns into a
microscope
and just starts looking at the screen.
Yeah, he's not even looking at the ore. I feel like Teletran's doing all the work here.
This is weird, too, because Teletran 1 says the ore is extremely high in energy, which is a meaningless statement. Like, I don't understand what... This is the second time they mentioned the ore is high in energy. I guess it's shorthand to make kids understand, maybe,
the value
but,
of
like, energy is not a component of ore.
Sure. But, I mean, I understand why they would say to the episode as a means of... expressing this is the value in having.
I guess so.
The ore has the potential to be processed.
It's not quite like a neutron star.
High energy.
Just trying to, like, put it on the spectrum.
I guess so. I just thought it struck me.
It has escape velocity.
Teletran also says the origin of this ore is unknown. There's more analysis to come, but it's enough to give Optimus Prime the green light to tell Omega attack the Decepticons. Blow that asteroid out of the sky.
Constructicon specifically.
Omega transforms. He heads to space. Teletran pipes out again. It turns out that further analysis of the ore indicates the asteroid itself is alive.
Attention, Optimus Prime. Analysis of ore complete. New data indicates it has an organic nature.
You mean that asteroid's alive?
Affirmative.
Oh, no.
Made a huge mistake.
Than that. Oh no!
Oh no! Yeah. If I just waited 30 seconds,
I know,
before sending him on a revenge mission.
Well, and maybe Teletran could have waited 30 seconds before delivering any report whatsoever.
What if he's like trolling Prime? I'm gonna hold this information until it's too late.
I can't wait to see his face when they tell him this thing's alive.
Oh no.
Omega's heading towards that asteroid. The Constructicons make him pretty quick, and the battle begins. A couple of strafes, and then he lands and transforms. Optimus Prime is trying to contact Omega Supreme to tell him, hey, don't destroy the roid. But Omega, he's an insubordinate fuck, and he turns off his radio.
Yeah, he's mad. He's on a mission.
He goes in for a vengeance punch. He misses the Constructicons, but slams his claw hand into the ground, splitting the asteroid in half and revealing some kind of freaky dragon thing.
Yeah, that was a twist
surprise
for me. I was like, what?
Like, did we need this?
Well, split Robin's arrow in twain.
Cobra Law shit.
I'm
right
glad
here.
It happened. I was just because it was like a bizarre turn of events.
So this creature, this organic creature,
which is not organic,
who's about the same size as Omega Supreme, looks like, I don't know, a scorpion dragon thing.
Yeah.
It's metal,
totally metal, and shoots lasers out of its tail. And this is where I thought it looked like a Florodairy design. Yeah,
totally,
I agree.
So we're at the refinery, and Megatron puts a piece of the ore into some testing equipment, and it just kind of dissolves. I guess, like, because it's organic.
And he's like,
"What?"
Yeah, which to me, my impression immediately when he did that, and maybe this is explained later in the episode, and I missed it, but it made me think that he discovered that it doesn't have the energy value that he thought it was going to have. And instead, the energy itself is coming from the life form inside or something.
Oh, that could be. Yeah.
Except Teletran just told us it was high in energy.
All right, sure. Does do they ever explain why Megatron was like, what?
He's realizing that it, like Optimus, that it's in... Because it's organic, there's something else going on with it. And maybe if you're Megatron, it's something you can take advantage of even more
To me, it sounded like Megatron was super disappointed. But whatever.
Here, I want to hear this.
They never go into it. Here it is.
There you go.
Let's read into it.
Now to see how much energy juice we can squeeze out of this ore. This should break it down into its component elements.
Dust.
What?
That's it.
It's like worthless.
That's all we get.
I guess I'm thinking he can tell it's something more.
It just melts into goo.
I can't argue with it, but to me,
I don't think it really comes back at all either.
Nope.
So weird.
They've decided it's now about a creature that came out of an asteroid.
And it transforms too.
It was
an egg. It was kind of a round egg shape.
Oh, I guess. I thought maybe it's just curled into its wings.
Maybe
but
it is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Whatever.
I wish Tubi had the commercial transitions.
I like this one with Cosmos, where he lands on a rock and it's upside down. And
that upside down Cosmos, Collier actually did a cornerstone for Reanimated that's like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, for Transformers Reanimated. Go check that out. Also, check out the July and August issues where yours truly will be doing the covers. I think I'm doing the October one as well, which is cool.
Don't check those out. They'll probably not be good.
Well, now I feel badly about myself, and that is your fault.
Maybe it's your fault because you control your feelings.
Wow, this is some gaslighting shit. I'm sorry that you felt that way.
We return from commercial. The creature has hatched from an asteroid egg, and it heads right to Earth. Omega isn't worried about it. He wants to kill these Constructicons.
Does not give two shits.
The dragon heads to Earth. It's going to attack the San Francisco Bay Area. It's not a Giants fan. The Autobots head for the Golden Gate to engage the Mecha Ghidorah, but Teletran tells Prime that the monster is attacking because it's hungry.
Which is really weird, because then it says its food source is the asteroid.
So why didn't it just start eating the asteroid when it hatched?
My thinking is maybe it was freaked out by the war going on the asteroid. That's how I kind of rationalized it.
Teletran 1 also tells us that only Omega Supreme can do
Omega
this.
Only Omega Supreme can do this.
He reiterates it a couple of times.
Really got to drive that home.
To the bridge. We got Ironhide. We got Trax, Beachcomber, Smokescreen, Powerglide. They engage with this robotic clawed dragon menace thing. The Autobots can't quite take it out. What if this thing eats San Francisco?
God forbid. I don't know what that means.
I bet San Francisco would taste pretty good as far as American cities go.
It's like Rice-A-Roni.
It's the treat. Ding, ding.
The San Francisco treat.
So this part where the asteroid creature lands on top of a building and starts eating it, you guys may have not seen this movie, but it gave me very Cue the Winged Serpent vibes.
Never seen it.
It's a Larry Cohen movie. Okay. It's about the Aztec deity Quetzalcoatl nesting in a Chrysler building. It's pretty good. Check it out. Anyway.
I refuse.
Yep. You won't even watch movies when I ask you to for the show.
What?
Before we did the Rum and a Ramble a couple weeks before, I was like, hey, if you guys wouldn't mind checking this movie out, go ahead.
A whole movie?
Yeah.
And you yell at Caleb when he sends a YouTube video over 3 minutes.
It's a good movie.
Seems like a lopsided ass.
It's unlikely your 3-minute YouTube video will be good.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to the asteroid.
Ironhide face palms.
Yeah, I wonder what we can do with that.
Yeah, at about minute 18, Ironhide face palms.
These drawings
whole situation.
Are just not good.
No, it's not. The animation's not great in this.
That's
one.
Maybe why they stayed unknown. They
don't tell anybody.
Alan Smithy did this. Back to the asteroid. The Constructicons feel that uniting. What?
This is not the asteroid.
Where are they?
They're like in the Antarctic.
They're back at the base.
Oh, I guess I thought they were on the asteroid. Base.
Okay. Did they look at that color error on that one
scrapper?
Scrappers.
Yeah. There's probably 18 color errors in this image.
Screen alone.
There's a lot. Oh yeah, there are a lot of problems here.
Okay, well, we're not on the asteroid. I guess we're in Antarctica,
which is weird because Prime shows up in a second. I don't know how he got there, but
Well, that actually answers a question I had. Prime showed up. I was like, "How did Prime get here? Cosmos isn't here, and Omega Supreme is already here."
Well, because that wouldn't make sense because it's at the refinery, which is on Earth, which was the whole point of Astrotrain taking the ore to Earth.
Right. So I thought they were on the whatever you call it, the asteroid. So now it makes more sense to me. We're at the refinery, which is, I guess, in Antarctica. The Constructicons feel uniting is better than dividing, so they form Devastator for the showdown, which is just what Omega wants.
Yeah. I will say, of all the animation errors, the size of Omega versus Devastator is pretty consistent throughout, which is like Omega's about a, I don't know. Devastator
heads.
Comes up to about his shoulders.
He unloads on him. Man.
Yeah, buries him in rocks.
Yeah, Omega is a fucking Devastator up, but before he can finish the job, Prime shows up to talk some sense into Omega. He explains it's kind of his fault that this whole thing is happening on Earth and we've got this problematic beast running around eating cities, and he's got to let the Constructicons go and save the humans.
Yeah, he says, "It's happening again, Omega. It's happening here on Earth. Are you going to let San Francisco be destroyed for something as useless as revenge?" Which I thought was a nice line.
And a nice circle back.
Mm-hmm.
The Constructicons report that the asteroid is really a delicious amniotic sac for this dragon creature. Megatron hatches a plan to destroy the asteroid so the creature is forever left to torment the Earth. How does that help him?
I don't know. Chaos. I don't know.
But chaos for the sake of chaos, really, is only going to get in his way. He's stuck here on Earth, too.
Maybe we can talk about this and rate the scheme.
Okay.
It's pretty stupid. It doesn't make any sense. He's really flying by the seat of his pants here.
Indeed. Omega engages the creature. Oh. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, we skipped past it, but the gigantic binoculars Megatron has for some reason are very funny. He's looking at the asteroid through him. It's ridiculous.
Here they are.
Oh, no. Oh, here we go.
He engages the creature. He tries to get it to, to lure him back into space.
Why do you have those?
And back to the asteroid. And meanwhile, Megatron, is that thing not a blaster? I think that thing is supposed to be the gun, the weapon, and it has binocular powers, but I think it's all, because he wants to blow up that asteroid.
It's a big pair of binoculars.
And he wants to blow up that asteroid, but before he can pull the trigger, Prime shows up again.
I don't know.
And as a one-man army, Prime just takes out this whole scene, the Constructicons, the refinery.
You get like four recycled cells on that. Like the explosion happens twice, Prime's shooting at it happens twice. It's terrible.
So this thing starts eating its...
Omega distracts it and leads it. Oh, my God.
Then it flies
just Kobayashi style. He's dipping it in water and just sucking it down.
So, yeah, the creature goes back to the asteroid and starts eating it, which the crumbs fall down for some reason, even though they're in space. I'm not that mad at it, but irritated me.
All is saved, and we close things out with Optimus Prime giving Omega a pep talk in the golden glow of the sunset from the gate bridge. Someday, you'll find that there are more important things in life than revenge. Also, never go to Oakland.
What does that mean?
Don't cross that bridge.
Don't go anywhere, folks.
The coldest winter I ever spent was summer in San Francisco. That's... Mark Twain.
Very good.
Samuel Clemens. Hey, I can do anything. I can be on your play about Mark Twain. I can do
I'd love
this
to
voice.
See you.
That is basically just an impression of Woody Harrelson doing Mark Twain.
Yeah, I'd love to see you as Mark Twain, Ryan. I think it'd be a good one.
I think you could pull it off.
That'd be a good Halloween costume.
I'm also pulling from the actor who played Mark Twain in the Star Trek The Next Generation episode. Yeah.
Didn't Val Kilmer play Mark Twain?
He did. And he actually did a traveling thing with it, too.
Like a one-man show?
Yeah, he has lost his voice to
Tragic.
To cancer. So now when he tours with the show, he talks briefly. It's through a talk box. And then just basically screens his performance you know, as Twain. But yeah, he's
still doing it.
Hal Holbrook did Mark Twain a lot. He's an excellent actor. I don't know if he's dead or not.
I think I know who that is.
He was the guy who was like, he was in the Creepshow.
He was a bad guy in Creepshow. Right?
Well, he killed Adrienne Barbeau because she was a shrew. He let the Arctic monster have her.
Mm, of course.
Billy.
That's what you do.
Sometimes you gotta kill her.
Don't listen to that, Robinus.
What we got now?
Hey, that's over. A couple fun details I thought I'd share with you fellers. There is a third-party company called Weijang that made a version of Omega Supreme, and theirs is differentiated. There's at least three third-party companies that made an Omega Supreme. The one I have is made by DX9.
Looks great.
Also, Fans Toys made one that a lot of people liked. It is well-regarded. The Weijang one is the least expensive one, and the one I feel looks the least like the screen version, but a cool thing it came with is the Doc character.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, kind of a very random but mm-hmm. cool.
The Doctor who's in Ratchet colors.
Kind of a medical look.
Yeah.
Red and white.
Red and white, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what you do.
Makes sense.
As far as new voice actors, new characters, not really anything. The character of Doc was voiced by Alan Oppenheimer. Michael McConaughey, who still hasn't reached out to us to redesign his website. He voiced the Gironian Sentry, a.k.a. the robot we saw get infected by the Robo Smasher.
Oh.
That's all I got.
In the real world.
In the real world, The Secret of Omega Supreme aired November 6th, 1985. American Top 40, Miami Vice was still at the top, so we're going to do Cool It Now by New Edition. You know that wow. song? All I need to
They go all the way back to 85?
Yeah.
Jesus.
They were kids. They were a child.
Yeah.
Sure, but man, group. I just didn't realize that they started that far back in the 80s.
Yeah, they were kind of like a Jackson 5 style.
Was
yeah.
it their first hit, or had they already had it?
It was their biggest one at the time. I don't remember if it was their... I don't know. It was definitely... It charted the highest so far. Its song's really weird.
When did Candy Girl come out? Look that up. That's probably their biggest hit. But
Candy Girl, yeah, that's another one of their big hits. This song is really weird. It's got a bubblegum pop thing going Shit. On, which I love. It peaked in January of 85 at number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100. The lyrics are about a guy talking about how much he loves this girl, and his friends are like, nah, bro, love is for suckers. You better cool it now before you get attached, like a bunch of assholes.
But also, you're 8.
I think they're teenagers.
Candy Girl came out in 83. They started in 78.
Oh, wow.
Bobby Brown actually left them in 85. Like, I didn't realize he left.
I think by 88 he was doing bangers.
Yeah, I guess I just didn't realize that they started that far back. That's really interesting to me. Anywho.
Yeah, there are two interlude raps in there. The first about how the guy should knock it off, and then the retort by the main character, rapped by lead singer Ralph Tresvant, I think that's how you say it. If I may give you a sample. I know you're only trying to help me out, trying to show me what life is all about. But this time I'm going to make it on my own. So why don't you fellas just leave me alone? Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike. If I love the girl, who cares who you like?
Very well done.
Not really, but thank you.
Ryan got bars.
For days. There's not much meat on it. I just really like that song. It's really fun. Yeah, like I said.
I don't think I know the song. I'm not.
Cool it now, ooh, watch out. You're gonna fall in love. Cool
okay, no, now. I know. I do know
Slow
that.
Slow it yeah. down.
Yeah, that is, okay.
Yeah, I put in here, I love Candy Girl also. I love the naming convention of the songs. This song is bracketed by releases called Popcorn Love and Mr. Telephone Man.
I think I know that one too. All right.
Yeah.
New Edition.
It's fun.
Yeah, that branched into Belle Biv DeVoe, obviously Bobby Brown's solo career. Mm-hmm. Belle Biv DeVoe begat Another Bad Creation and...
Boys to Men.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
The East Coast Family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The whole story is in there. So check it out. One day back in Philly, four boys, one and the same. I came up and said, what's your name?
Boys to Men.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Why are you a wise guy? You know what I'm saying?
That's kind of how he sounds.
I think he was on the toilet when he was delivering that verse. Do you remember the video?
Oh, my God.
I think he's taking a shit.
Boys to Men, ABC, BBD, the East Coast Family.
That's
on
right.
the toilet, like
Jet Black
like
Benz,
Lyndon Johnson.
Plenty of friends.
Yeah.
And all the Philly steaks you can eat.
That's a perk.
That's a pretty big legacy of stuff, though.
It is.
Boys to Men is huge.
Yeah.
Belle Biv DeVoe is huge.
Yeah.
New Edition got back to. I mean, they broke up and they got back. They went on tour as like late 20, early 30 somethings. I remember seeing...
Yeah, they had a couple changes in crew, but yeah.
They were on Saturday Night Live, and I remember just being irritated at Bobby Brown because everybody's doing their own thing, or doing the thing they're supposed to be doing in unison, but Bobby Brown, because he's the bad boy, you could tell he's like...
He's doing crack.
He's breaking... Yeah, first of all... He was high on crack. Second of all, yeah, he's breaking rank, and he's shirt's unbuttoned, and everybody else is buttoned up, and he's just doing whatever he wants to do.
Bobby.
He's Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown.
And then that begat, of course, the death of Whitney Houston and their daughter. Jesus.
Yeah, it gets dark.
R.I.P.
Man, we just keep going into some...
Everyone now knows the whole
sad
scene.
Sad place.
1985 at the box office. Death Wish is still in the top spot, so let's talk about a movie I loved as a kid, Explorers. It seems with 80% of these movies, you guys haven't seen them, so I'm sure you haven't seen
this came out this year?
1985.
Okay.
I've never seen it.
It's directed by Joe Dante of Gremlins fame, who also did Interspace, The Howling, and The Burbs. This movie was released on July 12th, 1985. It stars Ethan Hawke, River Phoenix, and Jason Presson. Young teenager Ben Crandall, who's played by Hawke, lives in the suburban San Francisco. And he has vivid dreams of flying over a huge circuit board and wakes up and draws what he saw. Ben's friend Wolfgang, played by Phoenix, is a child prodigy who builds the microchip that Ben dreamed of. And they meet a new friend, Darren, played by Presson, and the three test the microchip, which creates an electromagnetic bubble like a force sphere. And it can be programmed to surround a specific area. So they build this spaceship, basically, and surround it with the bubble so they can fly around.
Wow, that's a lot going on here.
Eventually, they actually take... The ship goes out into space because their program gets overridden by an unknown force, and they end up tractor-beamed inside a large alien vessel, where they meet a friendly brother and sister who are obsessed with Earthlings because they've been consuming our movies and television, and they wanted to meet humans, so they're sending those schematics into the guy's dreams.
Oh, do they talk TV?
They do. Get away, boy, you bother me.
Oh, really? That's what...
They do. There's a whole extended scene all that. It's kind of tedious. The third act falls apart a little bit. But that's... I'll get to why that is. It's a very 80s kid adventure movie like The Goonies, E.T., or The Monster Squad. There's a love interest for Ben, played by Amanda Pearson, who is Cindy Mancini in Can't Buy Me Love. So yeah, the third act falls apart basically because
She's dead.
Is she?
I think so.
Good Lord. Why is there so much death in this episode?
She's the main actress from Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah.
The female lead.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she's dead.
Oh, fuck. Oh,
okay. Well, there you go.
Well, R.I.P. Amanda Peterson.
Go on.
The reason that the third act is kind of weird, and the movie overall just has pacing issues and is weird, is that the editing process was cut short and bumped up the release date by 6 weeks. So Dante had to dump a bunch of stuff he was trying to do. There are some kind of fun Transformer-ish tie-ins. As the boys look through the junkyard for ship parts, a sled named Rosebud is in the background, which is a Citizen Kane Orson Welles reference. Mm-hmm. There's a drive-in scene with a fictional sci-fi movie with a character named Starkiller, which was the original name of Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. And the sound effects for the movie are from the Atari 2600 game Yar's Revenge, which is my favorite Atari game.
That was a fun game. I remember playing it with you as a child.
I played that game for hours.
Do you still play it?
Oh, yeah. Like, I played it for a couple hours, like, a couple months ago.
Just nibbling.
I'm very good at it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm...
That'll get me nothing. Robert Picardo, who played the Doctor on Star Trek Voyager, played Starkiller, and later also played the aliens, and the makeup was so painful and heavy, it caused lesions on his head.
Whoa.
And he said wearing it was like wearing a TV on your head, and it would bring, like, tears to his eyes in between takes.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it fucked him up.
Man, early days of makeup. And for all I know, contemporary days are still a pain in the ass. But
I'm sure they've gotten better.
Well, it had to have a lot of animatronics in it because, like, their ears flipped and their eyes blink and their mouth. Like, the mouth is the only thing that was him.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Welker did the voice of one of the aliens and was the voice whenever the aliens were doing impressions of pop culture. The film did not do well.
Call Frank.
Yeah, he comes up all the time. He did a lot of shit. Making $10 million off a $25 million budget, Like most of these, it's found an audience through VHS and DVD. It has fairly good reviews, and it's really original. The acting is pretty fantastic, although Ethan Hawke's a little whiny in it. Mm-hmm. It gets kind of annoying. And the special effects are amazing. They're done by ILM.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it also suffered poor theatrical release timing. It was the same week as Live Aid and a week after Back to the Future.
It feels like the movie or the idea Contact. I wonder, well, that was a book before it was a movie. That's a Carl Sagan story, if I remember correctly. But that same idea of the extraterrestrial subconsciously planting the method.
The schematics.
Well, it's not, I guess it's not subconscious. They send it to you and they have to then decode it, and they realize the aliens have given them a key to help them connect.
Did not like that movie.
And I can't remember. It has Jake Busey. That's always a makes it a winner. Matthew McConaughey.
It's one of those movies where
hey there.
The ending kind of ruined the whole thing.
Y'all want to go into space?
All right. Space stays the same age.
Relatively, at least.
Fun facts from this week in history. 3 days after this episode aired, chess player Garry Kasparov defeated world champion Anatoly Karpov. He was the youngest ever world champion at 22 and remained the undisputed champ until 1993. He retired in 2005 as the highest rated chess player in the world and is considered certainly one of, if not the best chess player in history. And he has since devoted his time to writing and politics and is a virulent critic of Vladimir Putin.
Duh.
Yet.
Who's not a critic of Putin? Why do you get kudos for being, like, if you like Putin, you're kind of probably shit.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that probably kind of like him because they like the machismo of,
yeah,
and they don't mind a...
Or they benefit from his terrible regime.
They're just bad people.
We're going to get a knock on our door.
From who?
KGB.
Oh.
We are here. We heard your Transformers. That's
we like
Austrian.
We're going to get canceled by the tankies.
I still don't... What is that?
You guys don't know what tankies are?
I don't read all this stuff.
Tankies are leftists that really love Russia and China. They don't mind authoritarianism.
That's bizarre.
And nationalism. They also will try and challenge you if you think North Korea is not such a good place.
So they're basically
fuck food.
They like communists. They like communist countries that have a dictator basically in charge of
them. They will tell you that there's no that Uyghur Muslim genocide. That's American corporate media making that up.
Okay,
that kind of stuff.
That's just strange,
willfully ignorant.
That's very strange.
It's a portion of the left that sucks.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, there's a lot of leftists that suck.
That's right. People that suck.
That's true.
There's just a lot of people that suck.
One of those people, Vladimir Putin.
You can put them anywhere. Put them anywhere you want in the spectrum of anything at all.
We're taking a stand.
Suck.
Vladimir Putin sucks.
Pretty
it's brave
bold.
Of us to put out there.
Shots fired at Vladimir Putin. What if he's got a Twitter though? I mean, we get him to follow the Autopod. What if he's like, what if next week we get like, well, we got a new Patreon follower.
Oh God.
Turns out it's Vladimir Putin. So I guess we have to send him a booty box. Okay. Well,
that would be,
thank you for your contribution.
Amazing. Just for the story.
Yeah. Vladimir, if you're out there,
five stars, please.
Five stars, please.
I think where'd I rate the scheme?
It's poor.
It's an energy caper. That's pretty typical.
It's different in that we're going off world, but like
it's different in that there's a dragon.
I think I don't think the scheme is so bad. I think it's represented poorly by the animators.
Yeah, I mean it's not a bad scheme. The third act dragon really throws a wrench into the whole situation. But mining an asteroid's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't think the scheme itself is bad. I think just how it was rendered.
Did you feel much payoff on the secret of Omega Supreme? The actual backstory.
I always like backstories.
I thought that part was neat.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
I mean,
it's okay if you
don't. I just didn't find it satisfying.
I thought it was neat that he was friends with the Constructicons, and then that, all that happened. I thought it was interesting way. I like things that are unexpected and like, you know, foes that. Or friends that became foes, stuff like that.
And it sounded like the other big problem is Omega Supreme, presuming he has all of his faculties, shouldn't be mad at the Constructicons.
Right, they were victims.
I mean, he shouldn't trust them.
Yeah,
either.
But Megatron's the villain in this situation. I'm looking at Omega Supreme next to Devastator on your shelf, and it's about the same proportions as we see in the show.
Yeah, I think they got it right. That's Toy World Devastator.
Okay. And it's which
Constructor? Constructor DX9 Omega Supreme.
Okay.
I thought it was the one that was the most show accurate, IMO.
Does it light up?
I may have that capability. I don't ever put batteries in these things. I'm always worried they're going to
corrode.
Ooze. Yeah.
All right. So, okay. We can.
I am the ghost of the iconic moment.
You know.
Do we ever do the ghost of the iconic moment intro anymore?
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't been here. He throws it in there. We just haven't. The ghost just hasn't visited in a very long time.
Yeah, what's up with that? What would it take to get him to come by? Not that I like him that much, but it provides good content.
We need to catch up on what he's been up to at some point.
I need to talk to him.
You'd think for our 150th, maybe he would have just like taken a day off from Chico's or what? What is he doing now?
I assume you are
up on his business, Caleb.
I used to be, but since COVID hit, I haven't.
I thought he ascended to like another realm or something in our Christmas episode, but maybe I'm wrong.
He jumped out of an airplane with Mike Seibert. He descended to the earth. And I think Mike they were hanging on to each other, falling to earth.
Those aren't pillows.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
That was basically the last that we heard. So he's hanging out with Seibert for all I know.
All right. Seibert, you tell us how he's doing.
Yeah.
He's probably sleeping on his couch.
My iconic moment was just the existence of the Robo Smasher. It seemed to have really captured the imagination of the like fans of the show. I don't know. Is there a toy?
I didn't remember that. I've seen. Mm-mm.
Maybe I'm wrong then. I'm completely wrong.
It is opinion based.
Vacuum.
What kind of fucking shop vac? You could make one out of a shop vac. You need more tubes and... Listen, I don't know why I'm entertaining this.
Lubes and prophylactics.
I think it's one of the most iconic episodes. I think in general, the idea of him being friends with the Constructicons and the whole going back and hearing the backstory.
Yeah.
Caleb. Makes it iconic.
Iconic moment. That weird thing coming out of the egg just really caught me off guard. So I don't know if it was iconic or more startling.
It was surprising that they introduced a whole creature in the third act.
Yeah, I'll go with that. It was just a startling moment. Okay.
It feels like two scripts jammed together.
It does. Yeah. Why? This was another... This was another unknown studio episode. We had so far Auto Berserk, which is the one with the race... A Decepticon Raider in King Arthur's Court, Make Tracks, and this one. There's two more to go. I hope you're excited. What's the best one so far of the unknown studios?
I mean, I just have to love the signs in Make Tracks. They're so awesome.
Pretty funny. It feels like the King Arthur's Court one had some reasonably unique shots.
There were some interesting choices.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. The unknown studios do a better job than ACOM usually.
By a wide margin.
Yeah. So
they seem like a blend of ACOM.
Just because they're unknown doesn't mean that they suck or anything.
Right.
I will say that the coloring, it seems like they don't fully understand what they're supposed
to
be.
They have some weird models or just hair.
Yeah.
Well, we have Kremzeek and Triple Takeover left for this season.
Kremzeek, another David Wise script.
Fuck, I wish he was alive so I could shake his hand. Speaking of alive, how did Amanda Peterson die?
Oh, it's terrible.
The medical examiner determined that Peterson died of an accidental drug overdose. According to the coroner's report, Peterson had undergone a hysterectomy shortly before her death and was prescribed gabapentin for post-surgical pain management.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's tragic. So she's
very sad.
Yeah.
How old was she?
Through here.
43. She was our age.
Oh, my gosh.
43. It's been a dark episode.
Yeah, we don't have to keep all the darkness. We can try and bring some light.
Rip deviations.
So we don't get back into the OG scripts edited by Friedman until production episode 60, which is Cosmic Rust. But I'm kind of just covering the writers and any information I find. Oh, speaking of looking into the future, I watched season 2 and 3 of Beast Wars the other day, and I cannot wait until we get to that. It's so awesome. Like, I wouldn't have watched it if we... Yep. I wouldn't have watched it if we weren't more than, like, a year away from doing it, but... We're definitely, I think you'll enjoy it. And, okay. And that is, I've unilaterally made the decision and now it's in here.
Huh. I was thinking maybe we were retiring.
Nope.
In a year and a half.
Never. You're chained to me.
I've given up hope.
I'll still be your friend.
No, you won't. Not if you don't do what I say. This episode is written by David Wise, who also wrote some of the other episodes we've covered, Attack of the Autobots, Day of the Machines, Microbots, and Make Tracks. So I guess he loves Unknown Studios. He sometimes, for some reason, gets coupled with Unknown Studios. Huh. I don't know why. Episode 155, actually, Crim Zeke, the next Unknown Studio one, we'll cover in our, yeah, like I said, episode 155. It's our next recording session. The way Omega Supreme speaks more fluently in the flashback is due to the fact Wise was not aware of Omega's bizarre speech pattern and wrote it with regular style dialogue. The dialogue editors had to insert Prime's line about making him talk like a normal Autobot for it to make sense, but I would argue if you didn't put that in there, you wouldn't have noticed.
Right.
I do like that there is a distinct difference, though, between his behavior then and now.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's kind of just a manifestation of his altered behavior.
How many episodes has he been in up to now? Two, three?
Three, I think.
He's cool. I've heard a lot of people, friends of the show that we talk to, he's a well-loved character.
Yeah.
And I never really was that into him, but people really dig on Omega mm-hmm. Supreme. He might be a top 10 overall.
Cool.
He's also just a super cool design.
He's unique. He's a unique one.
We talked about when he first showed up. We talked about what, like, the toy that he's derived from. I can't remember offhand, but it's in one of our other episodes.
It's one of those licensed properties, and I can't remember from who.
How does he compare? Like, how does the G1 toy, like,
the G1 toy is
measure
pretty cool.
up? I mean, because it seems to me like it just the way he's built, it's almost like they really catered to the alt form, you know.
I mean, it does, it is motorized, so he can go around the track whenever he's in vehicle mode.
He has no torso. And
that is weird, his legs.
Yeah, kind of grow
what's
out.
What's going on with his legs?
He has no waist.
I feel like he could walk, though. I think he could waddle.
Interesting.
Wait.
Okay. Still not bad.
I think it looks pretty good.
It was like one of the bigger toys at the time.
It was.
One of the bigger Transformers.
And that might be another reason why people are into it. Look, they could recreate this whole episode as a kid. Sit down, Omega.
Talk like a normal Autobot.
Gosh.
Next time on the Autobot Decepticast.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with the gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness. The boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, I'm going to deactivate and sell your robot friends as slaves in exchange for energon to power my ship.
That's the Weird Al version.
I like that.
I do love that song, though.
If you'd like to support us, you can do it one of two ways. Through Patreon. Join that community.
Speaking of gambling.
I don't know
why. No gamble here. You're guaranteed to get some good shit.
That's right. Or if you don't want to make it a long-term commitment, you can go to our APDC store for a one-night stand. Check out the goods at autopoddecepticast.com/store. I guess that's how that works. Or patreon.com/apoddecast. And keep listening.
Yes, please.
You get that iTunes, that Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. Tune in. Should they leave a review, Ryan?
5 stars, please.
And there's the social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all of them at APodDcast. Ryan, what are you going to put on the... I don't think I've asked you in a while, but people want to know what's going up on the website.
I guarantee they do not want to know, because I don't feel like anybody goes
probably
to
we get the hits, baby.
You're going to put your movie references.
Yeah.
And
then this, you know, I put the song that I cover up there, and then any like screen grabs I do from the show or video from the show.
Uh-huh. A memorial to Amanda Peterson.
Put up some information about neutron stars.
Yep. I'll do a 60-minute TED talk about it.
I love it. I won't watch it.
There are some really cool things there if you go. Also, I put the picture of our cocktail with the recipe on our website.
I'll link some information about tankies.
Great. Everybody's right. clamoring for that shit. Sure.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
What do they call them, tankies, though?
That term has been in existence forever. It actually dates back to British communists who were super pro Stalin. You were wearing, is that a shirt,
from
Looper,
the movie
with Bruce Willis and...
Is he in it? I've never seen the movie.
Caleb is wearing a Looper t-shirt.
I don't remember where I got this shirt, but it's one of the most comfortable shirts that I have, and I wear it. And okay. People are like, and I even forget, like...
How the fuck did you get a Looper t-shirt?
Number one Looper super fan over here.
I've had it for a few years.
You know what you need to do? Go back in time and remember where you got that shirt.
Yeah.
And then kill yourself.
God.
That's a movie reference.
Okay, see, there you go.
You got to close the loop.
Who plays young Bruce Willis? I'm blanking out on his name.
Three names.
Yeah.
From 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Seymour Hoffman Smith.
He's in another time traveler movie in addition to three monkeys.
Yeah.
12 Willis, monkeys. Yeah. Three Monkeys.
Three Monkeys is a very different movie.
It's
Michael Clark Duncan.
The answer is Joseph
Gordon-Levitt.
That's
it.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, I like
Caleb,
it.
Caleb, you should see it.
All right.
At least so you can wear the shirt credibly.
What's weird is like, what do you think? I can't even imagine. Like, I wonder if this came from the set. I doubt it. But then who's getting a Looper shirt? It's weird. I don't understand.
Who else out there has a Looper shirt?
It really is at this point, like Bruce Willis is just phoning in all of his work. So Joseph Gordon-Levitt brings it, but Bruce Willis is just Bruce Willis in this movie.
It's true. This was also, they did creepy things to Joseph Gordon-Levitt's face to make it seem like he was a young Bruce
Willis.
Like
Godfather style, his cheeks are like pushed out.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Inception's an excellent film as well.
I would stand by most of that guy's work.
West and I went on a Leonardo DiCaprio binge recently.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them.
What? Any stinkers?
No, he's great. I can't think of a movie that is bad that he's in.
I remember The Beach didn't get the best reviews.
It's weird.
I don't think I saw that one.
I saw it. I actually think I saw it in the theater, which... it's good up until then. All of a sudden, it's
no good anymore.
They have a hard time wrapping the movie up, and it just kind of the pace. The pace changes.
The Stephen King disease.
Yeah, and I think ending movies must be hard. Like it just seems like ending a
sure,
story.
Ending
a story. Ending anything must be hard.
I have trouble with ending.
Look at this.
Yeah.
How are we going to land this fucking smoking?
I think it's
jet.
It's a wonder to me that any movies are good, just given how hard it is to make a movie and who all is involved.
It's true.
And the politics involved.
Yeah, the studios.
They ruined a perfectly good Little Shop of Horrors with that saccharine ending.
Yeah. Look what they did to Orson Welles. Orson.
You know, you have like an actor that's a really good actor that ends up being a crappy movie, and it's like, ooh, why'd they make that decision? And it's like, how can you?
You don't even know.
You don't even know until like literally the editing's done if it's going to be sometimes trash or not.
Right.
You know, like I think Michael Caine or somebody was in a crappy movie, and they like asked him if he'd seen it, and he said something to the effect of, "No, I haven't, but I've seen the house
that it built."
What was that? I know what you're talking about.
I think it's
about.
Jaws 4.
Yeah.
He actually missed the Oscars to make that movie because they were in reshoots.
I've seen the house that it built, and it's beautiful.
You're not doing it right.
Of a tangerine.
You weren't supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Oh, that reminds. I watched Dirty Rotten Scoundrels again recently.
Oh, I want to see
that. That holds
again.
The fuck up. It's
yeah,
great.
I can imagine.
It's so good.
Mother.
Not mother. The cork is on the fork so he doesn't hurt himself or others. Ruprecht.
All the acting in that movie is
amazing.
Yeah,
it's great.
I know the first time I saw it blew my mind. Yeah. The twist.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it coming.
That's a well-written movie.
Like it's a remake, actually.
Speaking of movies that were ended well.
Yes.
Now let's go get them.
What's it a remake?
It was a Cary Grant movie with the same like general principle.
Same name?
I can't remember the name. It was not the same name. It was something else.
Jerk E jerk people.
Jerk off.
Jerk off. It was called Jerk Off. It was 1945.
Cary Grant has not seen the movie, but he has seen the house it built for him.
Brussels, Brussels, where we sell good.